Creating eerie drops with filtered thunder, advanced edition. This is one of those drum and bass tricks that, when it's done right, makes the drop feel like it doesn't just start, it materializes, like the room's pressure changes, and then the drums kick the door in. We're going to build a Thunder FX chain in Ableton Live using mostly stock devices, automated over a 16-bar build, do a pre-drop vacuum moment, and then make sure it hits with the drop without wrecking your kick, snare, or sub. Before we touch devices, here's the mindset. Treat Thunder like three separate problems. 1. Transient translation. The crack has to read even on small speakers. 2. Mid-range fear. That filtered pressure is what creates the storm front vibe. 3. Tail management. You want size and atmosphere, but it cannot wash out your drums. If you try to solve all three with one processing move, you'll usually end up with a cool sound that ruins the mix. So we'll separate jobs, and if needed, we'll print versions later. Step 0. Source and prep your Thunder. Drop a high-quality Thunder recording onto a new audio track and name it FX Thunder. Pick something with a clear initial crack and a long tail. That's important, because we need an impact moment and a texture bed from the same recording. In clip view, turn warp off. Most natural thunder sounds worse when it's being time warped, especially in the tail where the movement matters. Now select a clean region that contains one main strike and the tail, and consolidate it. Control or Command J. Consolidation keeps the clip manageable and makes automation and duplication way easier. Next, gain staging. Pull the clip gain so the loudest peak hits roughly minus 12 to minus 6 dB before any effects. Feature note here, if you start too hot, you'll compress and saturate earlier than you think, and the build will feel huge but the drop will feel small because you've already spent your headroom. We want the loudest moment to be the drop, not bar 8 of the build. Now build the main Thunder device chain on FX Thunder. First device, EQ8. This is the cleanup and the stop it from messing up the substage. Start with a high pass filter, 24 dB per octave, around 25 to 35 Hz. We're removing useless sub-rumble that just eats headroom. Then listen for mud in the 200 to 400 Hz area. If it sounds like cardboard or it's pushing into your snare body, put a gentle notch there. Don't go hunting for problems that aren't there, but if it's murky, this is usually the zone. If the thunder is hissy or you've got lots of brittle air, add a high shelf cut of 2 to 6 dB above 8 to 10 kHz. And if the crack is painfully sharp, try a narrow dip somewhere around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. That's often where thunder gets stabby. Second device, auto filter. This is the eerie movement engine. Set the filter type to low pass 24 dB. Turn the envelope off. We want full control with automation. For cutoff, we're going to start in the build around 250 to 600 Hz. That sounds pretty dark and distant, like the thunder is behind a wall. By the time the drop arrives, we'll open it somewhere between 2 and 6 kHz depending on how bright you want the impact layer. Set resonance around 20 to 40%, enough to create that spooky focus, but not so much that it whistles. Add drive, plus 2 to plus 6 dB. Drive gives you attitude and helps the movement read. Now automate the cutoff over 16 bars. Here's an important coaching point. Automation curves matter more than exact numbers. If you draw a straight line, it'll feel like a generic DJ sweep. Instead, make it an S-curve. Slow movement early, then accelerating into the last two bars. In Ableton, you can right-click the automation and add a shape. A good structure is bars 1 through 8, slowly open from about 300 Hz up to around 1.2 kHz. Bars 9 through 16, open faster up into 3 to 5 kHz. You should feel like the storm is approaching, not like you're turning up a tone knob. Third device, saturator. Put it in soft clip mode. Drive somewhere between plus 3 and plus 8 dB, then bring output down so the level stays roughly consistent when you bypass it. This is not about louder is better. This is about adding harmonics, so the thunder tail feels thick in a drum and bass context, and so it translates on smaller playback systems. Fourth device, glue compressor. Attack around 3 milliseconds, release on auto ratio 4 to 1. Lower the threshold until the strike gets about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. Soft clip on, subtly. We're controlling the impact and giving it a little forward punch, but we're not trying to flatten the life out of it. Fifth device, utility. Thunder can be wide and facey, and your bass usually owns the center in a roller. So we'll control width like it's part of the arrangement. In the build, you can sit around 100 to 120% width to feel cinematic. For the impact moment at the drop, automate narrower, like 60 to 90%, so it hits forward instead of spilling sideways. And quick advance check, later, When you've guys hitting at the drop, throw a utility on your master temporarily and toggle mono. If your thunder disappears in mono, that's a phase issue. Don't just collapse the whole thing. A more surgical move is to keep the highs wide but reduce the side channel in the low mids, which we'll touch on in a bit. Sixth device, limiter. Ceiling at -1 dB. This is safety, not loudness. We are just catching random peaks so the chain behaves. Now, optional but powerful, create a thunder verb return. Make return track and name it a thunder verb. Put hybrid reverb on it, then a Q8, then a compressor for sidechain ducking. On hybrid reverb, choose convolution or hybrid. Set decay roughly 4 to 8 seconds. Pre-delay 20 to 40 milliseconds. Low cut in the reverb around 250 to 500 Hz, and high cut around 6 to 10 kHz. Mix should be 100% because it's a return. After that, EQ8 to clean the cloud. High pass again around 250 to 400 Hz. If it's masking your snare presence later, do a gentle dip around 2 to 4 kHz. Now the key move, duck the reverb return so the drop stays punchy. Put a compressor on the return, enable sidechain, and choose your drum bus or your kick track. Ratio 4 to 1, attack around 0.3 to 1 millisecond, release around 120 to 250 milliseconds. Set threshold so the reverb ducks 4 to 8 dB when drums hit. Send your thunder track to this return. In the build, the send might sit around -12 to -6 dB. Then you can automate it down slightly at the drop if needed. And here's a big teacher note. Kick trigger ducking isn't always optimal in DNB. Kicks can be short, and the snare is often the thing you really need to protect. So consider ducking from a drum bus that includes kick and snare, or even using two compressors. One key to kick with slightly heavier movement, and one key to snare with gentler settings. That's how you get size without washing out the 2 and 4. Now the signature move, the pre-drop vacuum trick. In the last half bar or last bar before the drop, we're going to make the thunder feel like it's being sucked inward, so the drop feels wider and heavier by contrast. The easiest way is to use two auto filters. Keep your first auto filter as the main low pass. Add a second auto filter after it, set to band pass, and keep it turned off until the moment. For the band pass vacuum filter, frequency around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz, resonance around 35 to 55%, drive 0 to plus 3 dB. In the last half bar before the drop, automate the band pass filter to turn on. At the same time, automate utility width down hard, like 0 to 40%. Then dip the track volume by 1 to 3 dB right before the drop. What you're doing is pulling the sound into a narrow mid-focus tunnel, so when the drop hits and everything opens up, your brain hears it as bigger than it actually is. And a nice extra detail, in the final eighth note before the drop, consider hard cutting the thunder to silence, or leaving only a super short tail. Those micro silences create perceived loudness. It's the same reason breaks feel heavier when there are little gaps. Now let's make the thunder actually hit with the drop. Thunder transients can feel late because they're not as sharp as a kick. So we'll split it into crack and tail. Duplicate the thunder clip. On the duplicate, crop it down to just the sharpest crack, maybe 20 to 200 milliseconds. Then nudge it earlier by 10 to 30 milliseconds. Do this while listening against your kick and snare. You're looking for the crack to support the drop impact without sounding like a flam. Call the short track thunder crack and the longer one thunder tail if you like, or just keep it as clips on the same track if you're disciplined. On the crack layer, high pass more aggressively like 80 to 150 Hz, so it doesn't fight the sub. Add a touch of saturation for presence, and keep it quieter than you think, often somewhere like -18 to -10 dB relative to the main mix, depending on how dense your drop is. If you want an electrical bite without adding a noise riser, try amp on the crack layer very subtly. Clean or blues can work, then EQ after it to notch any harsh peak you introduced. The goal is transformer edge, not guitar tone. Now, keep bass clean with sidechain ducking on the thunder itself. Put a compressor on the thunder track and sidechain it to the kick, or to a ghost kick if you want consistent triggering. Ratio around 6 to 1. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release around 80 to 160 milliseconds. Set threshold, so you get about 3 to 7 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Again, consider the snare. If your snare is getting masked, either sidechain from the drum bus, or add a second compressor key to the snare with lighter settings. In drum and bass, the snare is often the thing that tells your listener the drop is here. Now, arrangement guidance for a 16-bar pre-drop. Bars 1 through 8. Low pass cutoff slowly opening from about 300 Hz to around 1.2 kHz. Reverb send rising slightly. width gradually widening. Bars 9 through 15. Cutoff opening faster from 1.2 kHC up to 4 kHC. Add a little extra grit by pushing saturator drive up 1 or 2 dB. And introduce intentional holes. Mute the thunder for an eighth note here and there. Those gaps create momentum. Bar 16. Half bar before the drop. Cue the vacuum moment. Band pass on. Mono narrow. Slight volume dip. Final eighth note. Hard cut or nearly nothing. At the drop, the crack layer hits with the kick. The tail sits behind. High passed and ducked, supporting the atmosphere without smearing fundamentals. Now a few advanced upgrades if you want to go even cleaner and scarier. 1. Multiband ducking instead of full range ducking. Put an audio effect rack on the thunder. Make 3 chains. Low, mid, high. Duck the low chain harder from the kick. Duck the mid chain gently from the snare. And barely duck the high so the air crack still reads. This keeps presence without stepping on drum fundamentals. 2. Controlled stereo, more surgical than just turning width down. Use EQ8 in mid-side mode. On the side channel, reduce 200 to 700 HC to a few dB. Keep the transient region solid in the mid. That gives you wide atmosphere but stable punch. 3. Movement that's more unsettling than a smooth sweep. In the last 4 bars, automate the filter cutoff in small jumps every half bar, like steps. It can feel more intentional and more threatening than a continuous rise. Pair it with tiny gain rides so it feels designed, not glitchy. 4. Subtle pitch shaping on the thunder tail. Automate clip transpose by plus or minus 1 to 3 semitones over 8 to 16 bars. Upward drift can feel like pressure building. Downward drift can feel like doom approaching. Keep it subtle so it doesn't sound like obvious pitching. 5. A controllable sub-rumble that follows the thunder envelope without messy subs. This audio version is shortened for playback.